Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. We're up here in a very windy place, and I'm not using even a microphone. So you're going to get the beating and the bashing of the wind up on Ben Buckler while I share this beautiful, beautiful podcast. And today I'm going to talk about empowerment. If you're listening to this podcast, you know, and I don't have to repeat, but I will, that there's two sides to everything. So when your company says we're installing agile, or we're putting in a new structure, or we're going to change a leader, or we're going to do something, they will always sell it as if there's going to be one side, the upside. When you go on the internet to Instagram and it says this is the best thing since sliced bread, you've never seen anything so great in all your life, you're going to love this, they're selling the upside. So today, and that's just not the truth, there's the downside. And it's not a matter of becoming dubious or suspicious about everything that everyone promises you. It's about becoming inspired. Because an inspired person doesn't get distracted by upside. So let me just share a little story. Empowerment is a beautiful word. I would not meet a person in a long day's walk that wouldn't respond positively to the word empowerment. Would you like to be empowered? Do you think empowerment is important? Do you think we should help people by being empowered? Do you think we could take empowerment to the next level? And we can go on and on and on with the word empowerment. And that really leads us to the question, what's the downside? Because when we sell empowerment, it's an upside equation. Empowerment is good. Everybody thinks so. It's a meme. It's a generic meme that all people will respond to positively. But what's the downside? Well, let's start with kids. If you enable and empower, same word, your kids, they will develop at a very early age an opinion. It's a modern trend. I see mothers at my local cafe asking three-year-old children what they want, which is basically empowering them to make their own choices at an age where maybe, just maybe, that kid doesn't really know the upsides and downsides of all their choices. That's an incredible infatuation with the word empowerment. I've got two people taking photographs around me at the moment. So that's really a little distracting. But anyway, let's keep going. So yeah, take your photos. I'm in it. That's good. So when we do this upside concept and we say empowerment and we start empowering three-year-olds to make choices about what they have at a cafe, and if you don't give the kid what they want, they start to cry. They start to grizzle, and I hear the kid really kicking up tantrums if they don't get what they want. And you look at the kid, you go, you little shit, you know, you're kicking up a tantrum. But they're kicking up a tantrum because somebody empowered them. Somebody empowered them to make choices at a very, very early age where they have not got the logic to work out what's best for them. They only want what tastes good. They are empowered and therefore their tantrum gets them what they want. So somebody empowered the tantrum to cause a reaction. So the parent is again at fault, not the kid. And you look at the parent, you think, well, they're just doing their best, and it's the meme. It's the current fashion. It's the way things are at the moment. And the parent will then beat themselves up because they've got a naughty, screaming, self-determined, opinionated child at the age of four when they're too young to really know their options and what the benefit and drawback of those options are. So what we're teaching kids with this word empowerment is self-gratification. Now, if you meet any person who's grown up in that environment, they're 18, 19 or 20, they really don't understand what life's all about from the point of view of instantaneous gratification has been their model for decision making since they were three. They have had parents who enabled them, who empowered them. And they know that if they kick up enough tantrum, become sulky, emotional, scream and shout, report you to the boss, claim bullying or do anything, they know if they make enough noise, they will win because they're empowered. They're enabled. It's a beautiful thing. It makes a very powerful individual in the world who feels enabled or empowered to and entitled to their instantaneous gratification wishes coming true. And so we enter into a working environment where enablement and empowerment and with things like agile help leaders not to make decisions. What they do is they create leaders that don't make decisions but enable and empower other people around them to make decisions, which is, and if you talk about it in universal law sense, a complete infatuation with the feminine side of existence. Now, I didn't say female, for all of you out there who are radically into the equality thing. I didn't say female. I said the feminine part of existence. Masculine and feminine coexist and cooperate with each other in the universe. However, on Earth, there are cycles. And at one cycle, we go to war, the Second World War, or we have aeroplane attacking World Trade Centers, and we have viruses come around, all masculine stuff, because it's destroying the status quo. That's the masculine principle, destruction. And it destroys so that new growth can happen. It's not pleasant, we don't want it, we don't ask for it, but the masculine side coexists 50-50 with the feminine. But once there's been a period of masculinity come around, we gravitate and we infatuate the feminine. And the feminine will emphasize empowerment, enablement, entitlement. It'll emphasize, the feminine aspect will emphasize giving authority to a three-year-old to choose what they have at a cafe. It will emphasize the parent not making up their mind what they want, because making up your mind what you want, knowing what you want, being inspired is masculine. Because whatever you decide, whatever what you want is what you want. Whenever you know what you want, somebody doesn't want it. And you have to deal with that as the consequence of the masculine side. However, if you go to the feminine side, you don't make up your mind, you don't enable yourself, you don't empower yourself, you're not inspired. What you do is you say, what do you want? And that means you don't get pushback. There's no destruction. There's no threat to the individual's engagement. And so what we have is companies like Culture Amp and all the others measuring engagement, which is a total fiction. It is a trend at the present time to divorce ourselves from the masculine aspect of being inspired. And then people say, I struggle with my leadership, I struggle being a leader because I struggle with the rejection, the pushback, the confrontation, and what I'm trying to do is manipulate everybody in the company or in the team or in the group or in the squad. I'm trying to manipulate them all to think that they made the decision that I really wanted in the first place. Or we surrender the decision we want in the first place and we go to the feminine and we say, look, you all make the decision, I'll just implement it. Now, that's all very well if you've got a creative environment that can work, but it doesn't work in profit-driven, cost-cutting, market-intense reality. What works in reality is a 50-50 balance of knowing what you want and doing what you want and telling others what that is in a way that they want to be part of it. And then there is a part of saying, I don't care what I do, I'll do whatever you want. And that 50%, I'll do whatever you want, is really important for an inspired person to say, what are my priorities? Because if an inspired person doesn't know what their priorities are, they will say, I'll do what you want in an area that's important to the inspired individual. In other words, they'll surrender their power to enable others randomly. So I think it's really important always, firstly, to question anything that has the proposition of an all upside process. Secondly, to question anything that has an all downside process. Thirdly, to realize that to be an inspired conscious leader, to be someone unique in the world, you are going to get pushback sometimes. And the most important thing is to choose what that aspect of life is. For example, let me just give you one quick example. Let's say you run a business, which is my ambition and hope for everybody I coach, to create out of everybody I coach an entrepreneur of some description, even if it's an intrapreneur. An entrepreneur knows what they want. They know what they're building, they know why they're building it, and they know when they want to build it, and know how they're going to build it, and they've thought it through, but they're inspired. And they love it, and they've got a smile on their face. They're on track, they know how to get back on track quick, which is all the process I teach, and they've got a mission, a vision, an inspiration. They want to build something. Then they go home. So that's when they're going to have to use their masculine aspect. Then they go home, and the kids are playing up, and their partner is sort of doing the best they can and struggling with stress with the kids, and the kids are being, you know, empowered, so the kids want this, and they don't all want the same thing at the same time. And the person who's using their masculine energy at work, which is inspired, comes home to this and then has the propensity to try to stay inspired at home. But that's not going to work. Life is 50-50. And there's got to be, for an inspired person, an area where they empower others. And that may be being more passive in certain aspects of their life rather than trying to implement a masculine, aggressive, destructive growth in all aspects of their life. That's called prioritization. This is Chris. You have a great day. Bye for now.